You know, where you draw a line around the paragraph and do this.
Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. If we can start with a roll call.
Commissioner Madigan.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
He's excused.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Not here. Next, we have item B, the approval of summary of proceedings for the March 21st regular meeting.
Not for March, we did.
Okay.
Or for April, we're doing
April.
Yeah. Mine says April. Does
yours? Mine says March. Never mind.
I was like, wait.
All right, there we go. So April 18th. Do we have any public comment? Okay, do we have any board comment? Okay, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay. Next, item C, consent agenda. These items, these agenda items before the Animal Control Commission may be acted upon with one motion if no member of the commission or audience wishes to comment or ask questions. So let's start with the audience. Is there any comments on consent agenda C? No public comment? Okay, any board commissioners?
You're going fast. Okay, I can't just ignore. Was it 12 emails?
Mm-hmm.
13. I know that the topic was closed. Is this an area that we should discuss this as far as other possibilities?
Yes, we're open to comment right now.
Okay, do you have any ideas on this?
Well,
I've consulted with county council, and what I thought we could do is not within our purview. Something that we could do is create a subcommittee. The other option is that participants of the letter writing campaign can go ahead and create whatever it is they want us to review and bring it back to us for review and discussion. Bottom line is we're an entity that advises the board supervisors. We don't make the law. And so the public has things they want to bring to us for us to review and to potentially put in the pipeline to send to the board of supervisors. This is the manner in which it needs to be done, so they can bring it directly to us.
Okay, in the letters, there was a lot of different directions or different ideas and different directions as far as kennel permits. Sorry.
It's okay.
There's a lot of different directions to go. I do have them all in front of me somewhere. They're there. As far as the number of animals that are allowed, mandatory spay and neuter, if the group could focus down on exactly what you want to look at, there's so many things there that I'm not totally clear. I know it's all about saving the animals and not having like what happened in Tehachapi. I understand all that. And I don't necessarily agree that you can have that many animals. That's my personal belief. But if you guys are willing to put something together, drill down on exactly what you want that's doable, that's a possibility, and then re-present it to the commission for review and possibly reopening the topic. Yes.
So is that no to a subcommittee? Because if we have a subcommittee, at least we have some people that will, guide us in what would be, dialed in, or what could be a possibility. Because right now, to us, we're like everything and anything. Maybe something will stick.
Yeah, that's kind of what the letters
do. Right, which is the only thing that we, which what we think. So maybe if there was an actual subcommittee and people from here were willing to help, it will help us dial that in.
Oh, I think it would be
interesting. Hang on a second. If I could just ask, if you're going to comment, we need your name for the record because this has to be transcribed.
Michelle Vallejos. Okay.
Sorry.
Can I make a comment?
Go ahead. Okay, then I'll continue.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Okay. If I may suggest.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's stick with the order we're supposed to maintain. You can reopen public comment and allow the public to comment and then go back for board comment, but the back and forth is not really the format of the meeting.
Exactly. Okay, so this isn't the place to do. We should wait.
Well, I did ask for comment from the audience, and nobody said anything. So do we want to reopen it? Do we have commentary from the audience?
Yes, we would like to have a subcommittee.
Excuse me.
I do have a comment.
I'll go up there.
Please.
Okay, please do, and identify yourself.
Stacy Ends, 93306. And there's some concerns here. The email, there's basically three things. We wanted to revisit the breeding permit program, and the ordinance that was proposed in 2008. The breeding permit program is very well written. And I think that's number one, needs to be revisited. Also, there's another thing on the 7.08.040 kennel permit ordinance that says there's no limit to the number of dogs that you can have on your kennel facility. I don't know if this is correct or not, but it says there's no limit. I don't understand that. So the problem is, if we can go back, we need somebody that can counsel us on what would be appropriate and something that we could in fact present. We don't have that. Right now, we are just trying to read through and understand all of these 70 pages of ordinances, and plus there's some that are scattered in different areas under code enforcement and this and that. Also, for the breeding permit, okay, I'm going to give an example. In the last 2 days, we found 30 litters for sale on Craigslist and such, so we can follow this. Here's one, a German Shepherd with 10 puppies hanging off of it, and they're selling them at 6 weeks old for $300 a piece. Okay, great. But also, he says there's no shots. Is there a clarification on, do they need to have a permit for that? Or at least show that they have a license? Do they not need a permit for that?
So let me address a few of the things you spoke of. First and foremost, the breeding permit program that you speak of from 2008 still exists.
Okay.
It's just called the Commercial Animal Facility Permit. The same requirements, actually stronger than the breeding permit was.
Okay.
There is a limit to the amount of dogs a person with a permit has, and that number fluctuates and is based entirely on the opinion of the animal control officer who inspects that property and issues the permit. It's based on the size of the property, the capacity for care, so there is a limit. And that varies wildly. If our officer goes on scene and determines that the property is only large enough, or they only have enough employees, or they only have enough resources to care for 40 dogs, 60 dogs, whatever it may be, that's what the permit is issued for.
Okay.
And it's regular and sometimes unannounced inspections of the property, and if they're over that number, then they're in violation of their permit and can be cited and lose the permit entirely. Those two issues, the breeding permit program still exists, it's just called something else, and there is a limit to the number of dogs. It is not illegal to sell a dog without shots. It is illegal to sell a dog under 8 weeks of age.
Right.
But as Mr. Beville will tell you, because we've been communicating, it's very difficult to tell, especially on social media, where that person lives, because that ultimately is what there's city ordinances and there's county ordinances and there's penal codes. We are county. I can only enforce county ordinances to county residents. So if somebody is on Craigslist selling puppies, I don't have any authority to stop them from doing that. It's not illegal to begin with, but if it's underage, I need to know where that person lives to enforce the county ordinance on them to hold that animal until it's 8 weeks of age to do it. There is no law that governs how much a person can charge for a puppy either. So if they're charging $300, they're not in violation of any law. They are more than likely immoral human beings, but they're not breaking a law by doing that.
So
yet.
If it's not illegal, then I think this breeding permit program should be revisited.
Okay. Thank you. Your time's up.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
This is not a discussion.
Did I miss public comments?
No, we're doing it right now, Danny.
Okay.
This is specifically about the
letters
we received.
The correspondence.
Oh. Well, this actually isn't
public comment.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're not a public comment.
It's public comment.
It's kind of related, but not directly, so.
Okay.
Consent agenda.
Okay.
All right,
go ahead.
Yeah. Jerry. In regards to those emails, the subcommittee, I think, is really important. We heard Madigan and Nicole and say that they were overseeded. And of course that there's people out here who would take their volunteer time to find any kind of research that is necessary to maybe push something. We all are stuck. We are not happy with how it is now, and I'm sure there are people here who don't want it stricter. I know KCAS is doing really good. We talk about it all the time. Don't want to take anything away from that, but we are really concerned about what's going on out there. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think anyone knows. I think a subcommittee would try to revisit things and make it, we want something. What we see out there, and I can't imagine that anyone is ignorant to what's going on out there. So trying to fix that is what we want to do. Eat a little. And I mean all the time. Puppies, sick puppies, burned puppies with cigarette puppies, litters, being given away, sick, I can't even describe how heinous it is. So that's why we want a subcommittee. We cannot do it on our own. We do need your supervision because you're the commission. And I know that the breeding stuff is very hard. No one wants any legit breeders off the table. There has to be a middle ground, and it has to be. We've been doing this, I mean, I haven't been, but I've been hearing about this for 10 years. I've been listening to old meetings every week, all week long. And we guys revisit and talk about the same thing. You know, we don't want people to infringe on our rights. Like, I get it. But we have to do something more. This county is disgusting out there.
15 seconds.
That's it. We want to fix how nasty it is out there. And I know it's not just a KCAS thing, but, help. That's it. Please, subcommittee.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody else?
Do you know if they're picking up
Stacy, Stephanie, and I think they're city? I would just like to say again that I
would like to ask that
be revisited.
The city doesn't have a venue like this.
Being that Nicole and Commissioner Madigan both expressed that they would oversee that. In the meeting where we last talked about that, they actually said that they would oversee that. Colin and Madigan both said that they would be a part of that subcommittee. They both said that they were willing to do that. So being that we had them already expressing that they were willing to do that, as well as volunteers from the community who have already started the lead work, I don't understand why there's such a hesitation to just let that subcommittee exist and to do the job. What is to find that research and to provide the answers to the questions that you guys asked us that we were unable to answer because we haven't been able to have that subcommittee. I don't see what the big deal is. I really, truly cannot understand why, if we have had people that are sitting on the commission and are the director of the Kern County Animal Services that have said that they would sit on the committee and oversee it, why you guys would still deny that.
Thank you.
Jerry, does there have to be two commissioners on subcommittee, if it's going to assist?
No, you can have, so long as you have no more than two, you can have the subcommittee.
That's what I was going to say, because I was on a subcommittee of one 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Because I just don't feel like with the other things, the other, the disaster team, working the stable ordinance, I could throw in working on the, in the commercial animal permit. I'm working on the stable, horse stable end of it. I could, which my things are just recommendations, but I could look at the number of animals permitted. But I don't think I could do you justice with the time that I have, and I don't want to tell you I'll be there if I can't. I don't know how Commissioner Blackburn feels. He might be interested in being on it, but I can't speak for him.
Madam Chairman, my recollection, and Amber can correct me if I'm wrong, my recollection is that the subcommittee on mandatory spay neuter was shut down.
Yes.
By a unanimous vote of a 5-member board, is that correct?
Yes, there was a motion, but it failed because there was not a second.
Okay, so you'll have to have a 5-member board overrule that decision. So you'll have to do it when all 5 of you are present if you wish to appoint a subcommittee.
So we sit tight and tell there's all 5 of us.
Yes, I'm sorry, but you've already actually right. ruled on the issue, you got to overturn it with at least as much force as before.
Okay, I was just, after the meeting last time, I was just unsettled, so I guess if that's the rule, then...
It wasn't unanimous,
though. It was 4-1. There was no vote.
It was
4-1.
There was no second. It was
no
second.
Okay.
Anyway,
anybody else
Can I just talk right here? Because I mean,
we need you in the microphone.
We need you in the mic. We need you
identified. Yes, Wally Beville, and it's 08. I also would like to see if we could revisit the thought of the subcommittee to also perhaps bring someone from the city level into the meeting, so that way, like the city ordinances and things like that, that even though I know they have no jurisdiction, this entity has no jurisdiction over them. However, the more minds that are sitting in the room that have ideas that we could possibly adopt on the city, because the subcommittee is just exploring ideas, doing research. That research is then brought forward to you guys to see if it's okay to forward to the board supervisor. Mm-hmm. And so, at the same time, the city might learn from something that's passed in the room also. And so, basically, just a think tank is all it would be. Because we have significant issues. I mean, breeders should come too, because the things that are important, like vaccinations, like the age of the pets, the things like that that need to be enforced, that aren't being enforced because of social media, you know, that makes all the breeders' jobs hard. You know, because when you have 6 litters of puppies that are on social media and all of them have parvo, you know, that, and these people are going on in front of Target, exposing who knows what to what. You know, that's a shame. It's bad. Other than that, I mean, I'm not even going to start talking about dog fighting and bait dogs being bought. So, you know, that's another sad part of it. But, you know, I just think that there's a lot of great ideas amongst everybody in the community. And if we had a venue other than this to collectively put those ideas together and get it all nice and neat, filed in a nice format to present to everyone, I think that we'd have better results. Because every month we come here, we all have the same goal in mind, help the pets. But we tried to present, you know, over here, and it's been way too long. You need to figure it out. Cross the T's and dots, guys.
Thank you.
I can reach out to the city, but the likelihood is
They don't play well with others.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and we all would like to do that, but in our experience, it doesn't fly.
Either that, or we try to push for state legislation. And then that way.
I won't live that long.
It's, you know, I mean, it's, if we're not part of the. I said 24 seconds. If we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. That's how I see it. You know, unless there's positive ideas, what are we going to do? Negative attitudes have to leave. Because we're not going to help anybody. That's how I feel.
Well, at this point, it's not a dead issue, and we'll meet next month and hopefully have the poll.
Can we vote to put that on the agenda for this?
Yes.
Can we finish? Let's finish with the public talking first, please. Yes, ma'am.
I think really a lot of what you're hearing is frustration. The people that, like us that are out there every day and taking in animals and trying to help them, and they're, you know, being injured, or like one recent puppy that was burnt with cigarettes and cigars and was sick and swollen jaw. Well, I mean, it didn't survive, it died. But so a lot of it is frustration. And I don't think anybody cares about legal breeders. Nobody cares about them, because you're following the law, you're doing what you need to do. What we care about is everything else going on out there. It's very frustrating when you don't have resources or you don't have people that can support you, that are in the power to support you. I think the mandatory spay and neuter was just something that initially people came up with because it's like, we've got to do something. We're desperate, okay? But I think you can start with a broad conversation. And then you narrow it down. And by having the subcommittee, that's what happens, with different people's thoughts and ideas from the different perspectives, I think is really helpful, you know? Because obviously Nick has experience that I don't have. I have experience that he doesn't have. You guys have experience that other people don't have. I mean, that's how you have a discussion, boil it down, and figure out what can we do. Is there anything that we can do? Are we just going to continue to spin our wheels, you know, and this is life? But by not having any type of discussion, I think we're doing a disservice to this community, to the animals in this community, as a whole. So I think it's very important that we do have a committee or some form of a group that can really talk about and really narrow down what it is in reality that we can do to make things better. You know, I think it's important. I also have one question. You had commented, my recollection
15 seconds.
Different than you. Thank you. I can read. Last time there was a motion on the table and it just was not seconded. So to me, that's different than five people shooting it down, because that's not what it was. So is that a difference?
Thank you.
And I don't mind answering that. In order to be what essentially is a 4-1 vote, you got to have five people.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. I didn't remember it as the motion not being seconded, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
It essentially amounts to a 4-1 vote. You got to have five people to overturn
it. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public have any comments? Okay. Commissioners?
I did some quick research, not as thorough as you guys have been, but San Bernardino has a mandatory spay-neuter on breed-specific on pit bulls. San Francisco, apparently, I haven't read through all of it, but they have something as well. But I think there's different ways to go at this, so I guess we sit tight until the next commission meeting.
Okay.
Actually, the one thing I was going to say was definition of the subcommittee, because I've been on a subcommittee of one with a member of the community recently. The question about the ordinance that says number of dogs is unlimited, Nick is correct, because ACOs have discretion. However, what's written in the ordinance is correct. That was written probably in what?
12.
Was it 12?
Yeah, because it was after the commission had gone through everything, and then they
agreed.
Okay. Yeah,
but there was a huge amount of discussion. We had community meetings all over the county. I know I drove out to Mojave for one, and that particular issue was was a big issue. And so, yes, it was. That's what was decided, and that's what's on there. But yes, it was discussed at length. I'm not sure what else to do. I'm kind of at a loss right now. I know, but I mean, it just seems like there's something I'm
sorry. Okay.
Do you want
any advice? After the last meeting, I was not comfortable with the way it ended. I have no problem with the fact that the NSN question was asked and answered, in my opinion. But I do feel that the commissioners did not have really an opportunity to express their concerns. We see you every week, month. We hear you. A lot of you are new to this process. And in order to know where we're going, we need to know where we've been. And we've been down a long haul of a road that has put us on a positive track in this community. And we've redone the ordinances, as Sue pointed out, and it took us literally years to go through the process, because once they come to play, then we have to go out into the community and get input, send it back to county council. It's a process. And we are addressing ordinances that, as they come to pass, that we feel they need some tweaking or some change. And we're happy to do that. I think, ultimately, we all want the same thing. Everybody here has a passion for animals. And we all have our particular forte in that respect. A lot of you have made the decision to put yourself in the trenches and to deal with a lot of the non-niceties that may go on. You have to keep in mind, we live in Kern County. This is a very transient county. We also have a huge cultural divide in this county. And because of that, you're going to see the good with the bad. Animal control, animal services has made tremendous inroads. We are on a positive track as far as our euthanasia rates. I think probably our separation from the city turned out to be a good thing as opposed to a bad thing. It's given us certainly a more honest picture of what we're dealing with within this community. We've increased our volunteer rates. We've got a tremendous foster program, adoption programs. We have a fantastic group of people that are dedicating themselves, whether it's on this commission, at Animal Services, and certainly out in the community, as you all are. And under Director Cullen's tutelage, we've made tremendous inroads. Something you have to also keep in mind, this is not, Animal Services is not a nonprofit. It is not a for-profit. It is a government entity. And as such, there are limitations as to what can be done and the funding and the manpower in order to do that. And so we want to be cognizant of the things that we need and the things that we demand, because their plate is already full. And so I have no problem with the subcommittee. It's been my experience in the past, because I was on that subcommittee that rewrote all of those ordinances, and I had spent hours, hundreds and thousands of hours, because at that point I was new and didn't realize I could go to county council and get their help. So I personally sat down and typed those stupid things out. But if we had two people on a subcommittee. We were never in a situation where the public was involved until we brought everything to the table for discussion. So in asking us for a subcommittee, is it something that we can involve the public in? Or do we, as a subcommittee, create as we have in the past and then bring it back as we have in the past for conversation, discussion, and possible implementation?
For revising the ordinances specifically, and I'm not going to address any of the other things they wanted to do. For revising the ordinances specifically, so long as there is a public forum for comment after the ordinance is drafted, there's not really a whole lot of procedure as to how you get to that point.
Right.
it's whatever works.
Okay. So that's been my experience in the past, is that we as a subcommittee created and then brought forth for comment, change, etc. And then if it was to be seen to fruition, it went to council. Council then revamped it, whatever, came back to us again for more approvals, and then finally, once the process was over, it was sent to the supervisors.
Well, I can make a suggestion.
I would appreciate that.
The prior vote was specifically for a subcommittee for mandatory spay-neuter. Put an item, vote to put an item on the agenda next month for a subcommittee for ordinance revision.
Okay.
Would we have the ability to include members of the community and staff?
You can form the subcommittee any way you choose, so long as only two maximum members of the board, of the commission.
As opposed to what, then?
You can't have more than two of the board.
Put that on the agenda as opposed to
the mandatory.
That's fine. Director Cullen.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you truly offered to be on a subcommittee?
Actually, he's already proposed. He's got proposed changes sitting in my email.
There you go.
I'm more than happy to be a part of a discussion. I don't know about the commission, but I am keenly aware of what the folks in the audience are asking for. I'm keenly aware of what the department has resources to provide, and I believe I'm keenly aware of how the commission feels about it and what they're motivated for. So I would be more than happy to participate in that to any extent to help come up with solutions. I just want to make sure that we all know that, you know, the idea of a subcommittee, it seems like that word's flying around a lot. Subcommittee, subcommittee, subcommittee. Subcommittee does not equal the ordinance that you want.
All right.
That's not what that means. A subcommittee is developed to further investigate and determine whether or not something's feasible. So it's highly possible that a subcommittee could be formed. We look into other jurisdictions that have done something like this, and the decision is that that won't work for us. And then that's brought to the commission. So I just want to make sure that we all understand that. And secondly, that we understand that a subcommittee does not get together and then 30 days later it's done.
Right.
Absolutely.
This is years in advance.
Years.
And that is not to take away anybody's enthusiasm for this. This is realistic so that we know what we're getting into. That, number one, it's not a given that what you are looking for will come out of it. And number two, it's not going to be tomorrow. But I think it's a step in the right path if the commission decides to create something like this. The other thing to keep in mind is this committee, they do not enact the laws. You know, they make recommendations to the board on those laws. Ultimately, it is the community, the public, that will either support or deny the creation of a new ordinance. It's open for public comment to the entire community. And if they support it, it gets passed. If it doesn't, then it gets knocked down. And then alternately, if the Board of Supervisors doesn't support it. So there's so many moving parts to this. I just want to make sure that you all know what is all involved and that it's a long process to play out. And that, you know, if the commission is to solicit the input of the public, we're not going to have 30 people in the room to help us come to these decisions. You know, I think if it's the commission's will and they want to involve the community, they may choose one or two people to have input. And that may be the direction that they go. But I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we understand that this is a long-term process. It might not end up the way that we want it. And that it can't involve, you know, 45 different people. So, yes, to answer your question, Commissioner Anderson, I'd be more than happy to be a part of it.
Thank you, Director Cullen.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. All right, so that said, I have a motion.
The motion would be to receive and file the correspondence.
Receive and file, and then the second motion if you want to put ordinances on the agenda.
I make a motion to receive and file.
Do I have a second? I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
I'll make the motion to put on next month's agenda the discussion of forming the subcommittee to address ordinance changes.
All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Oh, yeah, 2 seconds.
Who was my second?
Wow. Pick one.
Do I get to pick
whoever you want?
Turn, turn. Okay, okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving on. Public presentations. Danny.
I want to talk about forming a subcommittee.
Danny Snyder, Grab Radio, 93.08. It's funny, I'm not nervous on the radio, but I get really nervous with you guys. I wrote it out, and I think a lot of this may kind of go along
missing your job again.
What you guys were talking about earlier. I would like to explore the possibility of the creation of a voluntary task force that gathers reliable information and actionable evidence in regards to puppy flippers, illegal breeders, dog fighters, and animal cruelty or neglect cases. I am very aware that the KCAS does not have the time, manpower, or resources available to monitor and investigate the countless number of these types of situations that appear on the internet or social media every single day. However, there are already members of the public and animal welfare community that are already providing this service for free. Under the guidance of KCAS, these people could make a huge difference in identifying those responsible and gathering information to hold them accountable. Let them do the heavy lifting so that when the time comes, all that's left, hypothetically, is for AC to come in and take action. Educate the public as to what is needed and what's worthless. Give them examples of successes and failures. It's an untapped resource that, if given the proper instructions and information, could be a huge asset to animal welfare in Kern County. I read that better than I thought I would. That's the thing. It's like everybody knows that animal control, they're stretched so very thin. There's not the time, there's not the manpower, there's not the resources. But these people that talked earlier, it's just a fraction of what's out there, and they're not able to come to these meetings every month. They're behind the keyboard every single day. And I know somebody has screenshots and screenshots and screenshots and names and names and names and aliases. One guy has like 11 different aliases.
Addresses.
Yeah. We need to know what's good information, what's bad information. What information can we legally and the public collect, provide to animal control to make it as easy as possible for animal control to take action and do something about this situation, which a lot of this frustration is coming from.
Thank you.
I'm looking at Jerry. The one that...
Yeah, sorry.
...has even put...
Okay, don't tar and feather me on the way out, guys. There are so many problems with that from a legal perspective. The minute that KCAS starts instructing the public on how to do that, the public becomes an agent of the county. The county becomes legally liable for civil trespass, property damage, invasion of privacy, and any other things that you may do in the name of collecting this information. A single person acting on their own is one thing. That single person, if caught trespassing, is liable for their trespass. The county does not want to be liable for your trespass. The county does not want to be liable if you trespass on somebody's property and they beat you up or they shoot you, which is a possibility around here. Your family could sue us if we had instructed you in doing something like that. If you are an agent of the county, there's a possibility you would have to be covered under the county's workman comp. We can't afford that either. I could go on, but you kind of get the idea. It's a wonderful idea, and what you do informally among yourselves, that's up to you, and I would strongly suggest you get legal advice before you do it, because you do have privacy issues and other things. But the county cannot legitimize a vigilante group, and you have the best intentions, and I don't mean that as a put down, but that's essentially what you're doing.
Could I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Could KCAS hold a clinic
in regards to educating the public as far as what the current laws, regulations, and ordinances are?
Depends on how we do it, but that is a possibility that you could discuss with Nick.
There's that word, educate.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah.
Something that I had proposed years ago and never really took fruition was a citizen's patrol.
Same problem.
Does this fall under the purview?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same problem. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily a liability issue because it's a legal thing called agency, and it does really weird stuff to relationships between private parties and the government.
I have a question. You said, I understand what you're saying, but say as an individual...
Susan, can we have you come up here, please? I'm going to pretend I'm Jerry. name, please.
Well, actually, as an individual, if I find out...
Could you state your name for the record?
Susan Richardson.
Thank you.
As an individual, if I get to gather information up and find out that there's someone doing a puppy cooker, they've got, you know, like they're saying, talking about some of these dogs that are somewhere, and I email this complaint with name, address, or whatever information I have to the animal shelter, is that something they can respond to?
Well, it's just, yeah, you have the right to you have the right to complain if you see a law being broken. Yes.
So really what you're saying is safer to do as individuals rather than...
No. I am not encouraging anybody to do anything, and I am not saying that one thing is safer than another.
Let me rephrase that. Legally, it's probably better to use an individual than collective.
I can't give you legal advice.
If you have a complaint, you can file it.
Yes. That's the bottom line. Yeah.
Thank you.
Try to have as much information as you can. All right.
I just have a quick question. I know it's probably a totally different animal, but the pet detective program that you had or have, mm-hmm. do you still have it?
Yes.
Wasn't that just... volunteers doing a lot of stuff online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, it's a different, no pun intended, different animal altogether. That's trying to reunite shelter animals with owners. So they're doing detective work, trying to find out people with lost dog posts with animals that are in a shelter. Been very successful, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Danny?
I just wanted to make one more comment, and I'm sure it doesn't make a difference, but just to clarify.
And who are you?
Since you didn't use all your 2 minutes.
Is that your real name, sir?
I plead the fifth. The idea of this task force was not somebody on foot going on property. I was talking about gathering information purely from an online standpoint. Does that make any difference?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other public presentations? Yes, ma'am.
Michelle Vallejos, 93311. I wanted to talk about something that I didn't get a chance to say last week in regards to legislation. Everyone's educate, and I get it. Education is great, but I think that we're to the point where it cannot just be education anymore. And when Liz was here last week, she made a great point about Lamont. They had a clinic. And legislation worked. I don't know how much you netted. You talked about it in the thousands of dollars. And Liz was pretty stoked about the 200-something people that showed up. And Nick made it clear that it wasn't just because it was all volunteer. They canvassed that neighborhood and got people to come license their dogs instead of paying a fine. Like, it was clear. So we all know that spay and neuter isn't going to bring in, mandatory spay and neuter wouldn't bring in money. Like, that's going to lose money. Okay? So maybe figure out other ordinances that reading stuff that hopefully the subcommittee goes through that are a little bit less lax than they are now might bring in more money. Because I'm always told that bringing money is what, you know, this county is going to look towards instead of, you know, spending it. And talking about, is my time up or did it not start? Okay.
You got a minute left.
Enforcement is a big deal. I've listened to old meetings where people are like, well, there's no enforcement. Why does the law need to be there? And I'm like, so tired of hearing that because fine. If the law is there and it doesn't get enforced because no one has time or too busy or no funding, fine. But if the opportunity comes up to enforce it and there is no law there, that's like bananas. No one cares, you know, we're not wanting anything to happen right away, but laws being there so that they can be enforced is always like better than not having the laws being there. Oh, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, and one more thing. I love hearing everything great that everyone does. KCAS or rescues in general, everyone talks about all the positives. Oh, we have our spay and neuter clinic. Oh, we have an adoption. Oh, look at all the great things we're doing. But only us are talking about, like, I wish there was some kind of public service announcement, like, from maybe KCS or anyone official, like, hey, guys, like, this is serious. Show the bad stuff and talk about it, because all those people out there, like, literally don't know. Like, I don't know if you guys heard the Richard Bean show yesterday. Didn't even know what bait dogs were. Like, people don't know. My mom, who lets me foster dogs in her house, had no idea that abused dogs exist. Like, they don't know. So all the pretty stuff we talk about doesn't get to them. And they're not going to do it unless they hear about, like, how shockingly horrible it is. Public service announcement. You know what I mean? Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else have a public presentation? And this is about things that are not on the agenda.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I short-term memory loss is a traumatic brain injury. Oliverville, 93308. To follow up with what Ms. Vallejo was talking about, everyone's seen the Marley's Mutts and the No Kill Karen billboards, correct? Everybody saw them?
Yeah.
So if we were to have half as many of those billboards with puppies like Frankie and Munchkin, the one that had literally over 20 cigarette burns on his body. And cigar burns. And
just don't.
Parvo that took him out.
It's bad enough coming here all night long.
One picture of him on the freeway or on Roseville Highway would wake some of these people up that live in this bubble that think everything's hunky dory.
How far do you want to stray?
I just want to talk about. And all of us in the room care. You know, there's no side of who's good, who's bad in here. It's the public, general public, and don't pay attention. And I think that's where the education part of it and the legislative part of it can come together. Because once the public sees that, then there's going to be huge outcry. They'll say, hey, we need to do something.
Yeah,
and if that way, they need more money for more vehicles, for more enforcement, then they're not going to care. Other than that, I forgot what else was supposed to say. Oh, secret witness program. Something like that. If it's actually a crime,
staff,
for instance, the cruelty maltreatment of puppies or whatever else,
talk about it then.
Is there some type of secret witness program that animal control could possibly get support from like a regular secret witness program?
I don't know anything about any secret witness program, but we don't have anything like that, and I can't see anything like that working for us.
Okay. Like, maybe give us a template of what you would, like, technically require to, say, get a good, you know, arrest or something like that, or a good case file. Just a template, though, you know, not can't say anything in particular.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, do you take in anonymous complaints?
All the time, yes.
Okay, so anonymous complaints can be filed.
I couldn't hear you.
Anonymous
answer.
Complaints can be filed.
Oh, absolutely. I'm anonymous all day long.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, that concludes public presentations. All right, staff announcements. Director Cohen, it's your turn.
I'm going to talk about subcommittees.
Good evening. Nick Cohen, Director of Animal Services. Just to go over a few things. First and foremost, I think Danny Spanks is being dishonest by saying that his name is Danny Spanks. I feel like he should have to say it really.
Literally?
If you stand up here and say, I did well, that's no fair, you're a radio guy. You got the chops. Just to address something that Ms. Vallejo said, you know, you stated that the county only does things that bring in money. That is not true.
Oh, that's not what I meant.
If you think about it, the county has committed $250,000 a year to spay neuter.
That's not what I meant. I meant,
it's not for discussion.
I just want to make that clear. I mean, I know that how that could be perceived, that the county as a whole is more interested in things that bring in revenue. But for animal services, it's different. It hasn't always been like that, and there's people that are sitting at that table over there that will tell you that, but the County Board of Supervisors is more interested. Now, I will not pull any punches and say that it's purely for the benefit of the animals. The county makes decisions because in the long term, it'll cost less taxpayer dollars if there's less animals in the community and less animals in the shelter. But they're supporting that idea through taxpayer dollars to fix the problem. And that I just want to make that clear, that the county does have interest in fixing the problem and not just bringing in revenue, at least when it comes to our PSAs. PSAs aren't free. We did a PSA just recently. It cost us $7,500. And that's grant money that we received to do that. So I just want to make that clear. The idea of a public service announcement is a wonderful idea, but it's not free. And the way the laws work, only radio stations are required to give free advertising space for PSAs. Television stations are not required. And the requirements that they do have, they're required between like 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. or something. We've researched it all. It's pretty ridiculous. That's why we ended up spending so much money on the PSA. Whether we should show the bad stuff, we don't control the news media. We put out there what we feel is important, and whether they pick it up is a different story. I mean, there's times when we show on our social media some really disgusting things, and we implore the public to take better care of their animals and be responsible pet owners. The media doesn't necessarily pick up on those things. They like picking up on the happy stories. I can't make them listen to a press release that I release. I can't make them pick up a story on an injured dog that comes in or somebody that's self-treating an animal or things like that. They seem to be interested in hoarding stories for some reason. So it's not that we haven't tried. We've had internal discussions where we discussed, no, this is disgusting, this animal was treated horribly, but we're going to place it on Facebook because we feel the public needs to see that. We agree, but we only have so much control over what goes out to the media and what doesn't. When we talk about how to get the message out to the community, we're basically talking about news and radio. And we use social media to some extent, but the broad spectrum of things is news and radio, and they decide what to pick up and what they don't. But we'll continue to try. I have a few things that I want to get to before I get to the director's report. First and foremost, the Animal Services Department now is a Deputy Director of Animal Services, and she's sitting right over there. Her name is Sally Breyer. Sally's been with the department for as long as I have, technically a little bit less than me, but she's been with the department for a long time. She served as an animal care worker in the shelter. She has served as a senior animal care worker, a shelter supervisor. She has served as a program technician and a program specialist where she manages spay-neuter programs and the social media programs. She's done an amazing job in anything that's ever been handed to her. I'm super proud of her that she's a deputy director. I'm happy that she got the position. It was a competitive appointment, so she wasn't just handed that job. I have no doubt that she's going to succeed, especially when I'm not here. But I just wanted to say congratulations to her. She deserves it, and I'm sure she's going to do some really great things. A few things of note. Again, I have said this before, but there's a lot of things we try to accomplish, subcommittee being one of them. But please, all of you here, in addition to pleading for what you feel the change in county needs, listen to the things that we talk about, the programs that we have, and the things we're trying to do, and be the mouthpiece for the community, so that when we talk about the programs we're putting into effect, ultimately you can go out there and tell these people, hey, did you know you can get vaccines from the clinic every Wednesday night between 5 and 6:30? Did you know that you can get your animal fixed at County Animal Services? Make sure that you're doing that as well. The reason why I say that is that at the county shelter, we've seen 6 cases of distemper since January. The city shelter has seen about 3 times that amount since January, I've been told. There, all of that disease and distemper, if you don't know, is very contagious. It's a deadly disease in dogs. It's horrible to watch develop and overtake an animal system, and it's easily communicable from dog to dog, just by minimal contact. It's coming from East Bakersfield. We've tracked those animals that we've seen, the city of Bakersfield. We've communicated, they've tracked their disease that they're seeing. It's coming from East Bakersfield. And it's a pretty general area in East Bakersfield. So we as a county have decided, with the help of the Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation, to give us a generous $1,500 donation to purchase 500 vaccines. We have a free parvo distemper vaccine clinic on June 2nd at Heritage Park. What are the hours?
Nine to noon.
We're not asking anybody to license their dog. We're not asking anybody to purchase a rabies vaccination. Spread the word. City or county, we don't care. We've asked the city to partner with us. They have staff to supply, so they can't participate. But we're still going to vaccinate city residents' dog. Please, implore people. It's East Bakersfield residents, but please come out and get your free vaccination. The first 500 vaccinations are free.
We've been sharing it.
Yeah, just please do.
Let you know.
That's super important. And that's June 2nd at Heritage Park, 2019. Check it off my list. A few other things just to get to. There's a lot of publicity right now, if you watch the news, about the Mojave Animal Shelter. I just wanted to get out in front of it and tell you that we are the way the county's financial system, the budgetary system works, each department is required to submit a budget proposal. We submitted ours on April 16th. That was when it was due. Just like when I was a kid, my homework, I'd wait till the last second. But we submitted our budget proposal on April 16th. We had cuts, just like every other department has had to endure. And our proposal did include closing the Mojave Animal Shelter. Does include closing the Mojave Animal Shelter. It is a proposal. And we proposed that cut to meet the overall cut of the department. It's about $280,000. The second thing that the media hasn't picked up on is we also propose to close the Bakersfield shelter and the Lake Isabella shelter one day a week, an additional day a week. So in that proposal is being closed Mondays in addition to the already closed Sundays. The reason why I stress that is a proposal is because the proposal goes to the county administrative office. The county administrative office puts it to the board, and then the board will open it for public comment June 26th. The board will ultimately make the decision to adopt the proposal or to recommend something different. But at this point, that's the proposal we put forward to meet our cut. There's some other things that are included in that cut procedurally in-house, but those are the important things. So you're probably going to hear about that in the media. Again, it is not a sure thing. It is a proposal that we put forward. I also wanted to address, and this has nothing to do with the county, but some of you have brought forward to me a concern about Cal City. Cal City has stated in the media that they are having financial constraints that are requiring them to potentially close their animal shelter. That is not a county facility. Cal City is an incorporated area. Each incorporated municipality is required by law to have a sheltering system, or a town system as they call it. So they'll have to figure out something. They've reached out to us. We'd get an idea of what the county would charge to provide care for Cal City residents' animals, and they have not gotten back to us yet. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but just to address some of the questions that have come in. To address the thing that Danny Spanks brought to my attention. I'm not sure about the idea of having some sort of, you know, volunteer-oriented dropping dimes kind of group. But I know that some of you have done, you know, have found things that you come across that are potentially illegal or you feel illegal. At last meeting, I stayed here afterwards, and I said, well, I was up here, I will send out my business cards. Not everybody stayed. Some of you did. I gave you my business cards. Shoot me an email if you feel something is going wrong in the community, and I will answer you whether there's something I can do about it or not. And I will try to take the time in email form. I can't always answer you right away. I'll try to take the time in email form to explain to you the laws that exist, the ordinances that are in place now, and whether or not I can do something about it. And there's times when you may see something that I can do something about. you know, I'm not telling you to email me when you see a dead dog in the street. That's contact dispatch for that. Or if you see somebody beating their dog, that's dispatch. An officer needs to respond to that. You're talking about breeding, talking about, you know, more than one litter per year, we're talking about commercial animal facilities. If you have questions, email me. I'll answer them. And either me or Sally will make that a few other things. We had our mega adoption event on Sunday, April 22nd. It was incredibly successful, I think. A lot of us in this room were here, were there. It was 35 or 40 different agencies, municipal rescues, animal welfare companies. 80 dogs got adopted. And it was about 1,800 people that came to see those animals, too. So it was a really successful event, and we're already planning next year as well. We are working towards our next adoption event, which will be June 11th. That is a just one-day adoption event. We'll be open for 11 hours. It'll be from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. All adoptions will be $11 on June 11th for 11 hours. That's usually a very successful adoption day. Usually about 100 animals find their forever homes on that day. We also are entering into an agreement with PetSmart. For those of you who are aware, we have a Petco agreement where our cats are in Petco stores, and we have very little care for them. We just have to provide a volunteer in the morning. Well, PetSmart is offered to do the same thing. Only one store to begin with, which is the Callaway store. It's a brand new store. And their requirements are much less than Petco. We just give them the animals, and then they clean them and care for them and process the adoption. So we're pushing through county council, I think, the agreement.
It's through county council. It's waiting for the board date.
So we're moving forward with that. That's a good opportunity. We've also submitted a grant to the Petco Foundation to start up our transport program again. We used to do transports 300 miles north of Bakersfield, 300 miles south of Bakersfield. Because believe it or not, there's other municipalities that don't have the problems that we have, and they need adoptable dogs. It's hard to believe, but they exist. So we used to have a transport program where we would load up a bunch of animals that rescues had committed to, drive them 300 miles north, 300 miles south, and deliver them, drop them off with a live dog. We haven't been able to do it because the vehicle we have is out of commission. So we submitted a grant to the Petco Foundation to purchase a new vehicle, and that grant gets approved, and we purchase a new vehicle and start doing our transports again.
So,
a follow-up for those of you who are aware, we had a large-scale seizure of 144 dogs that were seized from the Hatchapies about 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, 2 months ago. 144 dogs that were seized. I believe we have 27 left. And those were, the majority of them were live animals, but there was maybe three that had to be put down on at a veterinarian's recommendation. And really, to be honest with you, there's only a handful of rescues that were able to take on those animals. A lot of them were very unsocialized and just scared and fearful. And was, for the majority of them, it was Marley's Mutts and Unity Thrift that attacked. And they've taken an incredible number of those animals and are trying to rehabilitate them and get them homes. And I know they're having a difficult time with it, too. Animal Services, speaking of emergency preparedness, we will be recording a PSA that the Emergency Operations Center received a grant for, PSA about animal preparedness during disasters. So we'll be filming that tomorrow, so look, be watching on KGET for those PSAs. On how to be safe during disasters with your animals. I talked before about kitten nurseries. I don't know if anybody had remembered me talking about that. We're moving forward with a lease agreement. We found a location. We received grant funding from the Petco Foundation to support kitten nursery. So with some help from some community members who were interested in the nursery type setting, we found a location. They're willing to do most of the work to fix this location and provide the supplies and resources to build it. So that goes to the board, I think, beginning of June to adopt that lease agreement and move forward with that kitten nursery and hopefully start saving some of the 1,250 kittens that are still being put in. Just to touch on statistics, through May, Kern County Animal Services has saved just under 80% of all the animals that have come to the clinic. Also, we will be starting our Tails for Tails program again. For those of you who aren't aware of Tails for Tails, we started a program about 2 years ago where we invite children to come in and read cats. Seems kind of odd, but helps the cats socialize. and it helps kids learn how to read in a kind of non-judgmental setting. So keep an eye out for that, especially on our social media pages, some information about sign-ups. I think we're taking sign-ups right now for that, are we not?
Yeah. You just have to email.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Okay, so on to the director's report. In the month of April, 421 animals leave for rescue. Foster program is starting to pick up. 155 animals under foster care. By the way, can you spread the word? We always need fosters. The more fosters we have, the less animals in the shelter, the more animals we can take from the community. Our trap neuter return program is responsible for 7,332 cats since its inception in mid-2013. I wish we would stop seeing cats, but those numbers aren't declining. I just wanted to point out that one of our vaccination clinics, the Heritage Park Vaccine Clinic, we issued 168 licenses, which is pretty awesome. 402 animals were placed for adoption in the month of April. Year to date, 1,569 animals have been adopted, with 19 of those adoptions occurring through Petco. I talked about mega adoption. Our volunteer hours are still going strong, 2,733 total hours in the month of April. That's approximately 15 staff members. Again, if you know people that have free time and want to help out in animal welfare, please send them our way to volunteer. We're very accommodating. We try to be accommodating. If you have an hour to donate, we can accommodate. Field services, 1,272 total calls for service were handled in the month of April. As is the case most often, the highest call volume area was Northeast Bakersfield. 27 dogs returned to their owners, 79 dogs secured on the property. And with that, I can answer any questions on the direction of report or anything I spoke about.
We don't have our numbers, guys.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the kids' nursery, like where and who?
No, I can't tell you where. And what do you mean by who?
It's a secret. You said there's an organization that's helping?
No, two community members.
Just individual people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a one gal who it loves cats, has been interested in helping us put a nursery together for years now. She's a contractor, and she's just been helping us out with a piece of property and renovating it. I'm not trying to be rude, I don't want to tell you the location, because once people find out that there's a kitten nursery.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that could be bad.
Okay, is it within a reasonable distance of the shelter? That's really what I want to know.
What do you consider reasonable?
He's not going to participate.
Is it within like a 10-minute drive?
Yeah, it's close by.
Okay. And then I have another question. never mind.
That's good. Great job.
Any questions?
I'd like to see a lot of stuff in the letter.
Nothing?
Okay. Good job. Next victim.
You're getting up there next.
Okay. Yeah. I need a motion.
Yes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Thanks, everybody. Right. Thanks, Val.
I am Blake Smith, the business manager, and I am here. And the attorney told me that I am only allowed to talk about the spay-neuter funding update because that's what the agenda says. So that's all I'm going to talk about. So last month it was. I kind of freaked everybody out and said, I'm not sure we're going to be able to make it through the end of the year with the money we've got. But I've spent hours looking at this, and I think we are going to have funding through the end of the year. So we are not, at this point, there will be no discussion of ceasing to pass out spay-neuter vouchers. We have fully utilized the funding that you see down at the bottom, Petco funding. We've used all of that. We used it for the Save the Pitties program, and we have exceeded the Save the Pity programs, because has exceeded that funding by about 100%. And so the extra has been folded up in there under where it says low-income vouchers. And it's projected that we will continue. We'll probably do another $5,000 or $6,000 worth before the end of the year in saved pennies. And so we are at this moment, the save the pennies, we're at about 150+ surgeries on that. So if just run the numbers, if half of them are female, that we've just for round numbers purposes, usually it's like 54% is female is the way it usually works, and the average pit bull female can have, a litter of nine is not unusual. Do the math, see how many births we've prevented with that. So anyway, we're doing really well, and we're going to utilize all the funding, and we should have enough money, and I might have to tweak a few things at the end of the year if we're over.
So are you tapping into the trust fund?
So as you can see, if you go to the top there where it says low income vouchers, we have a balance of $2,725 left as we speak. So that means that the trust fund is going to cover the rest of us through the end of the year, so we've got the TNR. I'm expecting TNR is going to probably get up very close to the 95,000 because we do about 1,300 to 1,500 TNRs a month. It's really straightforward. We're doing good, and we're going to utilize the funding fully, it looks like. And I am hoping we can squeeze it by the end of the year.
And Save the Pennies is income verified as well?
It is not.
It is not.
Okay. It is not. If we want you to fix your pit so much, but we don't care what you drive, we don't care how much you make. But usually people that make a lot of money are just, if they're going to fix their pit, they're going to.
Well, you'd like.
But.
And you're still advertising for it. Even though you're at.
I don't think we're advertising for it anymore. We're done.
I saw it recently.
Yeah,
I saw the PSA where the dog runs through the yard. I saw it just like in the last day or two.
Okay, and that's fine, and they can keep running the PSA.
We're not paying for it. We
put out about $6,000 to advertise for spay neuter this year, and we're not going to do that again before the end of the year because we've done fine. But if you'll notice, there's a big difference. And notice the difference. So to save the pennies, the people, there's no copay at all.
So it's only
51% redemption rate. Okay. When they have to pay $20, it's more like 85%. It's down to 79%, and I think the reason for that, and I have to look at it more closely, but initially what we're looking at is all of the World Spay Day vouchers that people got on a discount, they redeemed. And the ones that are going to be redeemed are now redeemed, and I think the redemption rate on those went down because I guess there's less skin in the game. I think so.
That's a small turnaround window with those as well. And you can't always get your appointments in time to utilize them.
Well, we give 60 days for those.
Yeah.
So we're doing, we do 30 days on the others, and we're not, we're not Nazis about it, okay? But we want you to go to the vet, and if the vet calls us and says, hey, will you extend it? I can tell you we have never said no.
Yeah.
Not one time have we ever said no. In fact, I called in Ridgecrest. So the Ridgecrest shelter is using a group in Bishop who comes down, so there's a vet in, and they're doing some of their surgeries. And so I reached out to them and said, can I put your name on the list? No, we don't want you to do that. Okay, that's fine. A few months later, I got a call from them, and they said, well, we're taking your vouchers. Will you reimburse us? There's only one answer to that. Yeah, you do the surgery, we'll give you the money for it. Okay? We want the surgery. Any more questions?
I'm just curious, this food and agriculture grant that comes from the state? Or
yes, that was a state grant. It was $15,000. I applied for another one. We'll learn in July if we get it. And I love it because, you know, when I worked at Public Health, any grant that we had there through the Department of Healthcare Services, you know, we had to justify it, and we had to write reports, and we had to, you know, it was ridiculous what we had to go through to get it, and then to report later. And so I called them, and I went, you know, again, I said, well, is there any report I need to fill out? No. You got the money.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an easy grant, and so I applied for it.
Good.
Awesome. Any more questions? Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'd just like you to know there's one radio station here in Bakersfield that still airs a public service announcement regarding the Save the Pitties program.
You know what? We appreciate it. And I hope we continue to get a response because there is money to run through the end of the year. And we haven't asked anybody else to stop. We're not going to ask you to stop. But
Mr. Literal, is that KGFM?
No, the most pet-friendly radio station in Bakersfield will be 6.1 FM.
I agree.
Well, that rolled off your tongue nicely.
Sounds professional.
So I noticed that this is not the agenda. I might get trouble for saying it. I think tonight is a weekend night.
Can he say that? Can he like to say that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, so I don't care.
All right.
Thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
Do we need a motion to receive
files?
I make a motion to receive it.
I'll second.
All in favor? Thank you. There's that page. Moving on.
Madam Chairman, we need a comment. You've got an agenda item for volunteer update.
Oh.
So we either need to note that we're not having it tonight or receive and file a report that we haven't heard.
Okay.
Nick talks about it in his director's report. Does that count?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Mr. George is ushering in his grandbaby.
Oh, how exciting. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
I think just note for the record that no separate report was presented.
Okay. No separate report was issued
for
our volunteers. All right. On to commissioner announcements. So? Should I start at this end first?
You know, please, because my brain is kind of...
I'll
say that for older. Okay, so we're back to me anyway.
Yep.
My apologies for being late tonight. I was born 2 weeks late. Been late for everything ever since. I know. I'm worried. I enjoyed reading all the letters. That was very interesting. And I guess I walked in as that was being discussed. I even missed the approval of the minutes. Wow. But I have been really, really doing a lot of animal stuff in the last month. So I'm a little behind on a few things that I said I wanted to do. So, Jerry, be prepared. I do want to follow up on maybe part of this ordinance committee, the things we talked about, beefing up some ordinances to address the hoarding situation, give the ACOs a little bit more power that we discussed last month. And I still do want to talk with Commissioner Geary and with Nick about the hearing situation, because apparently I'm really confused, and work out a template so that next time you call me, I'm not such a pain in the butt. I think that's about it. I want to commend the group here that's been sending the letters. You guys are doing a good job of getting organized and trying to make make a statement, and I hope I can support you.
Okay, moving on to old business. Staff referrals?
None.
Okay, emergency call.
I'm thinking this subcommittee is pretty much done. We got the
Nick has his disaster plan in place. Central Pueblo Animal Disaster Team is in place to assist Kern County Animal Services, so I think we can probably disband that.
Okay.
Do we need to make a motion for that?
Let me make sure I understand. Do you want to remove it from the agenda, or you do want to disband the subcommittee?
Both.
You can remove it from the agenda.
Yeah, motion.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to remove it from the agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving on.
The Livestock Entertainment Committee, I'm working with Jerry on that. I've submitted some stuff. She will be reviewing it. Hopefully, I'll have more information for you next month.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Any new business?
None.
So, on to adjournment. It's Wednesday, June 20th. Same bad time, same bad channel. Do I have a motion? Second?
I'll second.
Any opposed? All right. You guys have a great evening. Thank you.